Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting. Okay, so the Cool Shit Podcast episode 18. We've had some scary technical errors running into this, so fingers crossed this is actually recording, but apparently there's a write error in our midst. So if you are listening to this, we made it through. And if this never goes anywhere, then you don't know about it, so I don't know why I'm talking about it. We have some guests this week. As usual, we have two guests, but we have a new guest who we've never had on before. Alicia, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you for asking. No one ever does.
I always do. And we should say that is her real voice, by the way.
Is that your real voice?
Is this my real voice? Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good, good. I'm just glad everyone's bringing their real voice. Chris, are you going to bring your real voice this week?
I'm here with my real voice, as always.
How many episodes have you been on? We don't know. We can't. We're not counting, or have you been
counting?
This
is number four.
Oh, someone's okay, counting. So
I'm trying to go for the double hat trick now.
And as usual, the editor-in-chief, a.k.a. the little chief, a.k.a. the little chef. James, how are you?
Smashing.
Smashing. Confident. You've been moaning, though, haven't you? You've been moaning about the level of cool shit stories out there this week.
Well, yeah, but I think under-promise and over-deliver. So they haven't been awful, but I haven't been blown away. But I have been doing this for about 2.5 years. So.
Well, we don't know what Alicia and Chris are bringing yet, so they might sort of step in and save the day from your poor choices. And talking of your poor choices, let's hear your first choice.
Okay, so as we know, or some of us do, dating apps are more popular than ever. And there's a new one, so Schmooze is a new dating app that matches people based on their taste in memes. Discuss.
I mean, we've talked about memes before as being sort of a really good cultural barometer of where we're at. A couple of questions off the bat, like, yeah, in theory, I love the idea. I think it's great because dating apps all sort of promise that they'll match you up on your personality, but as far as I can see, that's just shit that you write down, isn't it? Like, whereas the nuance of comedy and, you know, saying that, like, oh, I like funny shit doesn't really cut it, does it? Or I enjoy, you know, I don't know, memes doesn't even cut it again because everyone likes memes. So what you're looking at, the type of meme that you're liking, the nuance of the comedy within that meme seems like a good barometer of perhaps you two might be a match. But also, reading the article and digging a little bit further, where are these memes coming from? Because there's some pretty out there memes, and I've got to say, the more out there the meme, the better the meme. The more authentic the meme, the better the meme. Are the memes coming from this dating service? Is there a bunch of, like, you know, people behind closed doors at, you know, this dating service's HQ writing memes? Because in which case, I don't like it. B, are they taking safe memes and putting them on there that don't, you know, don't screw with our brand? Then don't like it. So what is the...
Well, Gareth, if you had actually dug a little deeper and done some research, you would have seen the third paragraph in the article that says that they have a collection of 5,000 memes plucked from all over the internet, hand-selected by the squad of meme officers.
That's what I mean. Who the hell are the meme officers? Who decides whether it's good meme? Like, the meme officers basically sound like a marketing team that are like, no, we can't say that. Yeah, no. Oh, that'll ruin the brand. Like, memes are irreverent, and I want an irreverent meme team. And if they are a meme team, if you are listening,
meme team's very good, it's like dream team.
Then, you know, apologies if you are the real deal. But in essence, yeah, I do like this idea. I think it's a good way of sort of matching personalities, right?
Yeah, I think the hope with the meme officers is that, because 5,000 is quite a lot, so you'd get the full kind of panoply, the full range of memes. Because if they're all the same, if they've all been chosen to be exactly the same, then it kind of defeats the point of the site. But yeah, you're right, you can't just say, I like comedy, I like memes. That would be like saying, I like music, which doesn't really mean anything. That's a kind of robotic answer. And it's a kind of a good barometer of sense of humour, I suppose. So I thought it sounded pretty stupid at first, but it actually kind of makes a level of sense to me.
I'm gonna sort of put this over to you guys, and before we sort of like jump into it, who is on dating apps? I mean, Chris, I know that you are a taken
I'm
man.
I'm excluded.
Alicia, do you dabble in the dating apps?
Reluctantly.
Reluctantly, okay.
I am on the dating apps. I did, to be fair, in preparation for this, I did try and download it, but I wasn't able to. I think it might just be something in the States, which is annoying. Because I was curious, because sort of along the same lines, I was thinking like, well, what do those memes actually look like? Are they just shit, honestly? Like, is it a bunch of like really old, like, I don't know, lolcats or something
memes.
Like that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I am curious like what the level of it is. But yeah, I mean, in theory, I think it's a good idea. I mean, as someone, again, who frequents the dating apps and stuff, I think I'm really fucking funny. So like the things that I put on there, like I'm just like, oh, absolutely nailed that answer. Gonna get loads of likes on that. And then what you find is that like, oh, actually like people have different senses of humor. So I think like having something that you can look at together, or, you know, you could say, okay, these are the sort of things that I find funny. Do other people also find the same things funny? I think it's just a nice way to sort of bring people together. But what I would be afraid of is that, oops, like the people that find the same things funny I do are like, you know, 12-year-old boys or something. So.
Well, I mean, look, hopefully there are no 12-year-old boys on the dating app. Right.
That would be boring.
Like, your infiltrators do happen. Chris, what do you think of this idea?
I think, I don't know, to your point, Alicia, do you feel you might be restricted to the comedic value you could offer people just from a pool of 5,000 memes? Would you not want like more of a peer-to-peer, this is what I'm into?
Yeah, but then it's hard because, again, the problem is like, and the thing with all the dating apps is it's like a curated thing of like what you're into. And so you really have to like, to make like a really good dating app, you have to really think about, okay, like what are the key points? Or like, you know, you're a picture can't just be a picture. Well, I mean, okay, maybe this is like the difference between girls and guys, but like for girls, like a picture can't just be a picture. It needs to like also tell you something about them and, you know, things like that. So you have to think like different levels. So I think by just choosing, you know, three memes that you think are the best, I think it still doesn't really get enough across.
Can a picture not just tell you I'm really good looking?
Yeah, but like also,
what, so
like,
do you care what's in the background? Do you leave like Easter eggs about your personality in the background?
Yeah, there's a load of there's a load of
I also like to travel. I also like food. Right? All those important things you need to get across.
He's a puppy.
Yeah.
James, you're on the dating apps, aren't you?
No, a band, mate.
Banned? You're banned from them.
All of them.
You might be able to slide into this one. Would you trust this? Do you think you'd like this as a barometer? Would you check out other memes that people have liked, I guess, is the question?
Yeah, and I think it is potentially a good barometer of sense of humour. The problem is that you're not... sense of humour is one of the things that you're attracted to in a person. So it can't just be like, oh, this person's got similar tastes and jokes to you. There has to be similar interests, similar values. You have to like the look of them. I know that's probably not popular to say, but it's probably true. So it sounds inherently limited. So now I'm wondering if like the bigger dating apps are going to sweep this up and basically buy them out and use this as like a feature on Hinge or something, which I think would actually work quite well.
Yeah, and then the other thing is I've worked on sort of briefs for like music and dating, and I think that's another really good barometer is like what music you like and being sort of like mapped through playlists and things like that. I think the more data points there are out there that sort of are self-expressive, like music, like memes, that sort of tell us a little bit more, unlock our characters a little bit more, they should be mined, right?
Yeah, but then sometimes Hinge takes it too far, and I'm not just saying that because it makes you put your height up.
I'm not just saying that because I'm banned. Yeah. Only in five countries.
But like, all of a sudden, you can scroll and people put so much information on about themselves. I'm like, I actually kind of don't really care about... Because some of it you almost sort of advertise... There's a lot of sort of virtue signaling, like, yes, I'm vaccinated, stuff like that, or I believe in this, I believe in that, I'm a liberal, I'm a this. And I'm like, it almost boils humans down to data points, and you'll see either red flags or green flags, and you'll think, oh, I agree with that. And I think you can actually lose a bit of the humanity from just having the data points.
I am not on the dating apps, but I totally agree with you. Like, the less said, well, you can say a lot with a little, right? And if I saw like a bio of someone that's like written low, I'm like, oh, you're the sort of person that sends really long emails and way too many of them. It's like
long emails, not long texts. You still communicate by email with your wife.
Back in the day,
keyboard warrior-ish. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like, oh, like too much information. Whereas with your point, with a choice photo and a choice couple of lines, you can really sum up your personality without spoiling it, which is your point.
Yeah,
without,
you need like, nice, clean copywriting, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there is probably a job for you in there somewhere of writing people's bios. Have you written anyone's bios for their... you had a load of the girls here taking photos of you.
They always do that.
For your dating app, I should say. Yeah, all right then. Well, James, you got anything else to say on this?
I am single.
All right, cool. Right, so what else have you got that you're bringing to us this week? I mean, I've got to say, that wasn't a bad story. What's your next story?
It was all right, wasn't it? It was all right. Yeah. Next one. I actually quite like this one. So we're all, to some degree, interested in football. The football season starts relatively soon. So teams are currently playing like their pre-season friendlies. For example, Everton just lost 4-0 to the mighty Minnesota United with a full-strength team, so that bodes well for the season ahead. But more to the point, in a match between AC Milan and FC Cologne, fans were introduced to a new way to watch football as players were strapped up with body cams and mics.
Yeah. So... I watched the footage and I think it looks amazing because it looks real first player mode, doesn't it? Yeah. Like it really looks like you're in the POV of the player with their sort of like their arms coming up and flailing in.
Is that how you run?
Well, it's kind of the effect that it looks like when you're looking at it. And then we were saying, weren't we? It's like it's very interesting because people watch football, but literally, if you're watching, you know, a known team, 100% of the football that you consume is from an angle. It's from an angle where you can see the space. You know, you've got, you know, whoever, Roy Keane and Micah Richards drawing diagrams of like this and that. But in the reality, it's very different when you're playing football. So it's really cool to see, you know, what professional footballers see, how they exploit the space of what they're seeing at the time, and when they choose to make, you know, decisions. I think it's a pretty cool thing. It had sound on it though, didn't it?
Yeah, body cams and mics.
So I think the mic thing, like, drop it, because I'd love to see this in the Premiership or you know, any of the top flight football leagues. But I think it would just spoil it if you hear what they're saying, because you want footballers to be gritty. You want them to be like shouting whatever they want to shout that makes them whoever they are, right? And you know,
you don't want them censoring themselves.
Yeah, you don't want them. Yeah, you don't want them censoring themselves.
But I kind of want to hear that.
Yeah, no, I'd love to hear what you're swearing and all that.
But I would love to hear like Jordan Pickford mics up at the World Cup, calling Harry Maguire like a fucking stiff donkey, like sort your shit out. Like, I just think it would be amazing. It'd be great content. But I know what you mean. They would have to censor themselves.
I agree with you. I think it would be like absolutely banging great content, and it would be really cool. But I just feel I feel sorry for the players, and I feel it would inhibit them somewhat, because then it's already bad enough when you're famous, thinking about your image and what you've got to be and what you've got to say, and it feels like, you know, although you are being watched clearly by millions of people on the football pitch, the fact that you can't be heard must go some way for those footballers to actually just be in that moment and be themselves. Do you know what I mean?
It's quite funny though, because I'm thinking, like, you know, like if you're watching from that view, there'll be fans screaming, "Fucking pass it," because you can see exactly what they see.
Yeah, right. No, exactly.
But yeah, it does feel a little bit invasive. And the other thing I'm thinking is, like, for most of the game, is it not just going to sound like, I'm not going to go close to the mic for this, it's going to be a load of kind of grunting and panting.
In England, that's what it would sound like.
Yeah, literally, like, there'll be someone cooking tea in the other room, and I was like, what the fuck are you watching?
I think there is one benefit though, that when I did see this, I think, okay, if players are mic'd up, then maybe this could be a good way to combat racism in the sport.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
Players will then be accountable because, you know, they've been recorded of saying X, Y, Z.
They're normally fairly accountable now, though. Anyway, I feel like because it's so... there's going to be enough... The football's a diverse enough sport where there's going to be enough people to report it. But you're right. They'd be banned to rights if there's body cam footage of it. It's funny, yeah, you'd know that something was about to go down if suddenly someone turns off their body cam.
At least you're a football fan, right?
Yep.
We found out, what was the World Cup that got you into it?
2002, the South Korea and Japan one. Because I was in Japan with my sister and we don't speak Japanese, so that was the only thing
we could
watch.
So you must have been like 4 years old.
Yes, I was basically a baby, thank you. Could barely speak. Yeah. No, I mean, I think this is really interesting, but like, I don't know, like the mic situation, I don't know, are you really going to get much out of it? Again, like sort of like what you were saying, like the players, you're not really going to hear much from them. They're just going to be like, oh, pass it. Like, you know, there's not really much. I think the body cam footage is more interesting because, you know, you get someone, again, like you were saying, like you can sort of see how they're seeing things and, you know, where they're putting the pass and stuff like that. Finding the gaps, I think, is interesting. But like, yeah, like the mics, I think it'd be more interesting to get people on the sideline or like people on the bench because then you get them actually talking about the game, like, oh, look what they're doing over there. I know probably some of the teams are going to be a bit like hesitant to put a mic on them because they don't want people to know their strategy and stuff. But I think that's probably where I'd be more interested to hear what's going on.
I think so. I have a friend at the Premiership, shout out Paul. But the Premiership are always looking for new and innovative ways to create content around the game. And I just had an idea. I think, like, wouldn't that be wicked if when you're watching the football, you can tune into one player?
Yeah, so you're like... It'd be one option. Yeah, exactly.
So it's not just, you know, the TV company or the live editor in charge of that. If we could all just access it, you know, you're watching it online. Yeah, exactly. And you're like, this player.
Yeah.
Then afterwards, so many kids are into, like, doing edits of football. You can, like, make your own sick edit of, like a final or whatever. That would be pretty cool, right?
I've had an idea, actually. I think...
well, then that was my idea, but you could...
I'm going to build on it. So I think as well as the body cams and the mics, we should give them earpieces so you can choose a certain player and shout abuse right in their ears. You fucking useless donkey.
Alicia, have you got a story to bring to the editorial meeting of the Cool Shit podcast?
I do. I don't know if it's cool or not cool.
Well, that's what we're here to discuss.
Yeah. I mean, basically, I felt like I needed to, as an Asian representative,
sure.
I felt like I needed to bring something from Asia. So I did find a story out of Japan because there's always weird shit coming from Japan. There were two companies that worked together to basically create something called like a standing nap box, which they invented.
This. A standing what box?
A nap box, you know, like a little snooze, you can have a little nap. Which they've created. So apparently they were saying that like lots of people tend to take naps in the bathrooms. So Japan in general, they tend to be quite overworked.
So I saw great, because like, I'm into my street photographer. So, street photographer, and like admittedly it's about 10 years old now, right? Mm. But the work culture is so fierce in Japan in terms of the amount of hours that they work.
Sure.
Like people are like working like crazy 16 hour days, right? Yeah. And they're like, and this guy was seeing loads of businessmen sleeping on the street.
Yeah.
And he was just going around taking photographs of like business dudes in good suits
falling asleep everywhere, and I was like, that's great.
That's a good little insight as well.
Yeah.
So is this kind of, do you reckon that's part of that sort of like working hard culture?
Yeah, so I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I guess you're sort of solving an issue, but it shouldn't really be an issue in the first place sort of thing. So it's like, that's why I don't really know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it is interesting, absolutely. It kind of looks like a box that you would steam meats in. Like, it looks kind of suspicious, but yeah, basically it's, I think they make you
You couldn't stand that.
Yeah, you could.
But this is the issue, they ruin it with one word.
What?
Standing.
Yeah.
Just make standing, like, not standing,
well, sorry,
make,
it's,
make
it's,
sleep
it's
beds.
It's a vertical nap box. So not you're not actually standing. I think there's like little points where you're sort of resting a little bit. Yeah,
lean,
more leaning.
That's still pretty shit compared to how often do you choose to sleep leaning?
Yeah.
I don't think I actually physically could.
I like how this is the compromise. Oh, they're really overworked. Should we give them like bed snap on? Yeah. Just make them stand up.
So you can get like 15 minutes, knock it out, and then just go back.
Also, that looks terrifying. Like, what if the door breaks and suddenly you're trapped in what you've called a meat smoker?
I don't know about this story. I agree with you of like, there seems to be a problem for this to be a solution, and we should probably look at the problem first, the wider implications of that problem, rather than having a nap box on every corner. But I think in Japan, they spearheaded that sort of like, and I don't know if it's true. I've only been to Japan once, but like, are there these sleep pods that like you can rent out where you like, you just literally get into like the
like a capsule.
But that's more of like a space thing as well. It's just like efficient. I think this is more
like a morgue.
Yeah,
very coffin vibes though.
So Japanese people are always looking to sleep somewhere, right? That's what I'm learning.
In the smallest space possible as well.
Like, I think the standing thing is also a thing, because like you can go to like ramen shops in Japan and they're standing. They don't have any seats, and it's just like quick in and out sort of thing. They have them all over, like at stations and stuff, and so it's just kind of like in and out. It's just because they have so much to do, they have places to go.
Chris,
hello.
You're always reliable for a story. I hope you are this week too.
Yeah, so this is kind of cool. But the people in question, I don't know if they are actually cool, so I'm gonna have to put that to you guys.
Ooh.
Have you heard of the Chainsmokers?
Yeah.
I don't know if they're cool. Are they a cool
duo?
Okay, brilliant. We can
all agree they're not a particularly
not.
Cool band.
Right, no. Okay. Well,
they are a band nevertheless, and they're making money and people are listening to them, so let's not knock them.
I mean, I thought the title was pretty cool. So they're gonna be launching to space in 2024 to do a concert.
I feel like maybe they could stay.
Yeah. So that would be cool.
So I saw this story too, and I was put off instantly by...
So when you say you saw this story, do you mean we spoke about it and you just stole my joke?
That as well. Yeah. But we spoke about this story as one of the things we've seen this week, but I don't know. Because I don't like them, it really...
Sure, you
like,
don't want to buy into it.
Don't want it. Yeah, exactly. So it makes me instantly think, oh, what a load of bullshit, right?
See, if it was Daft Punk getting shot into space, I'd be like,
there we go. If it was Daft Punk, I'd be like, oh, they're so ahead of the game. Like, oh, yeah, they know exactly what they're doing. Yeah, right. They split up just so they could just come back and reform in space. Oh, my God! But because it's these chumps, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Jog on.
Would you not rather space travel's tested out on people you don't particularly like, though?
It's true.
They are
billionaires and the Chainsmokers. Yeah.
But are they actually like? Is this another thing with like Jeff Bezos where they're like, they're not really going into like space?
It's the edge,
like,
of,
just,
edge of space.
Yeah, just the edge. That doesn't really count.
Just the it's just the tip of space.
Do you remember when the Red Bull guy? What was his name? Something Baum.
Baumgartner.
Yeah, and he went to the edge of the atmosphere.
And jump.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
Felix. Felix
Baumgartner.
There we go. We got there, right? That was the first time where I sort of, like, considered, like, getting closer to space, right? That was a moment where, like, that was crazy. Like, absolutely, like, nuts. Now, there seems to be opportunities to go to space more and more, like, readily. They're happening. Is this the best use for it? Like, who's going to be listening? Is it like, it's going to be a live stream, I'm guessing, right?
Wait, also, aren't they just DJs?
Yeah.
So, like, all they're going to be doing is they're going to be up at like, just the edge of space, press a button, and that's it. Like, no. I want to see someone playing guitar. I want to see someone playing the drums. Like, if you're going to go into space and, like, do a concert, then, like, fucking do a concert.
I think
like,
you've insulted DJs everywhere, though. It's a more complicated job than just...
Don't forget
your memory stick.
DJs. Maybe Daft Punk, but not the Chainsmokers, I don't think.
Yeah. Do you know what would be cool? If you merge the Felix story and what the Chainsmokers are doing.
And they jump out of the end.
And they jump out.
Stage
DJ from space back down to Earth.
Yeah. I mean,
that'd be fucking cool.
That would be fucking cool. You're right, yeah. Do we know the record label behind this or who it is?
I don't think it's a record label. I'm sure the Chainsmokers have a record label, so it'll be in partnership with them. But I'm just looking now. There's
so
this
it's
tourism
a partnership
company called
with
Worldview. Yeah.
Right, and what do Worldview do? Are they a charity or...?
So they are space tourism.
So it's Blue Origin, same sort of thing, and they've obviously it's been constructed in some boardroom. Who do people like? Chainsmokers, and because they do numbers, so they're going to get attention.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Like you're not gonna send some sort of like sort of really great craftsmanship with a banjo up to space that nobody's going to care about. So potentially it's like the Floyd Mayweather thing where people will tune in to watch him get knocked out. Maybe people will tune in to see if anything goes wrong.
Yeah, right. I think they should have sent Kanye. That would be like a...
Wasn't he going to space? Was that someone else? No.
I don't know.
I'm thinking of Pete Davidson, who is... Yeah, they're the same.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
they're kind of the complete opposite at the moment.
Well...
Yeah. I'd send Grimes, because she's kind of like an alien anyway.
And she's connected to space because Elon Musk,
right? There you
go. Yeah. So she's his space ex.
Oh. No.
Okay,
cool. Right, so we've had some interesting stories there. Let's just sort of round them up. What do we have? We had... coming in first, we had...
New dating site.
Memes.
Schmooze.
Yeah, Schmooze, which matches you by memes.
Yeah.
We then had body cams. So, quick one on the body cams. Is that going to become a thing? Are they rolling that out?
No, I think obviously it's just like a trial at the moment, but as was VAR at one point. So I think if people like it and they can kind of sell some sort of benefit of it, then the idea would potentially be to kind of roll it out, I imagine, in some less serious leagues, then work your way up to the Premier League.
I'm a real fan of that story because I think football's always got to keep on pushing on the way it's consumed. I think we consume football in loads of different ways now. So any new way to make it, you know, relevant and interesting for different platforms, I think that's great.
Yeah, more options is rarely a bad thing.
Exactly. So. Yeah, yeah, right.
What I would also like to see on the body cam subject, you know, the who's the train guy?
Francis Bourgeois?
Oh,
so like a football version of that.
Yeah, that would be good, actually.
That would be good. Yeah, yeah, right.
It might ruin heading a bit. Smash!
Alicia's story of the standing nap box.
Had it been a lying down nap box, I might have been on board.
Like a bed?
Yes, a bed.
Okay.
Yeah, a lying down bed. But I'm thinking about it.
That's going to take up too much space, though. Okay. Like, just thinking, like, economically here.
Stack them on top of each other.
What?
Stack them on top of each other. It'll take up less space.
Right.
But, yeah, so I'm not a big fan of that, because I'm speaking to somebody who has slept on a toilet floor before, and I think I'd choose that over...
afternoon, 3 o'clock.
After my cocktails. I feel like I'd choose that over some awful vertical coffin.
Then the chain smokers, what about them being sent into space?
I'm a sucker for anything space, as you know, even if it's just the edge of space. And would I... I just think, would I be curious about this enough to kind of either tune in or watch what happened afterwards? And I think I probably would be.
Do you know what? Like, once we knew who it was, and it was a space tourism agency that's pushing this, I think there's about a billion better ways of getting people to open their eyes to what the future could mean with space tourism and the exciting place that is.
All right, sorry, there's a million. Name two.
Name
two better ways.
Like, send up David Attenborough to do a TED talk. Like,
you can't
something like
send
that.
Him.
Why?
Oh, he goes anywhere.
He's brittle.
He literally goes anywhere. He can't deal with that level of G force. You're trying to kill David Attenborough.
Well, if that's how he went, he'd go in a blaze of glory.
So I said, you said you've got a million better ideas, and the first one involved killing an icon.
Okay, yeah, well, it will get some more attention than the chain smokers, no doubt. So, yeah, what out of those, any of those extra stories that have been brought, like, going to get through your barriers?
I'm leaning towards the chain smokers, because I don't think the idea should be ruined just by our feelings towards the band itself. And I like it being the first of anything. So it's a good claim to have. So I'm not committing to it, but I'm flirting with it.
Okay, cool. All right, well, so each week James writes the Cool Shit newsletter, which is sometimes called a blog, which is sometimes called an experience, which is sometimes called an extravaganza, depending on how he fancies it. If people fancy finding that or signing up to it, because you can get it delivered to your inbox, where do they go, James? We haven't done this for a while. Yeah. Oh, you're a bit rusty.
It's Zach Agency, zakagency.com/cool. -SHT.
It's really catchy.
Yeah, I know. It was a lot better. It was a lot better when I was saying the wrong URL for 15 weeks or whatever it was.
Cool. Right, Alicia, thank you very much for joining us for your first Cool Shit podcast. May it be the first of many.
Hope so.
Chris, It's your birthday tomorrow, isn't it?
It is.
It's tonight, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah. It's his work birthday today.
This is the last recording of me in my 20s.
Wow. That's true. All right. Well, this one will go down as a piece, as a heritage podcast. Mm. James, Gareth, as usual, I will see you next week, right?
I wouldn't miss it.
Well, you're actually going on holiday soon, so you might, so don't...
I wouldn't miss next week, so I will certainly miss the week after and the one after that, yeah.
All right, thank you very much, guys. Cheers.
Bye-bye.